Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 4th of June, 2020. We will be continuing with our Thursday class sharing. So we will continue from where we stopped last Tuesday, which is page 94 of the Heart Sutta, second edition. And we are at lesson 17, part 3. We will continue with part 3.1. But before we start today, I will also share with you all some of the important sharing from a sister in Singapore. She has joined us a number of years. She attended our retreat in Cameron Highland too. And only recently, she discovered how simple meditation was after she started to understand my instruction. She said my instruction was so simple, so clear, and so direct. That's why you just follow. She was so amazed to be able to realize that silent mind, that awareness nature. And the way she described it means she really, really had developed the understanding and the transformation, which is very good. And I like that last paragraph that she shared. It said, when your mind is in this state, the direct seeing, the awakening, the transformation is so different from the one that she used to have, which is knowledge-based, thought-based. This awareness-based sati is so different. And he said, no mental hindrance. She was just so amazed, just relaxed, aware. No need to know anything. No need to do anything. Just let the thing silent, settle down. Then you just realize it. And it is just so simple, and yet people don't understand. Okay, later on I will share with you. I have told my daughter Sui to make the note also, so you can see the note later. You don't have to remember anything. In fact, it's from the WhatsApp that I sent out. But I realize a lot of Kayamita, I think you are too busy with too many WhatsApp or what, you hardly read. But when it comes to our Maitreya-mitta, you better spend time. If it's Dhamma sharing, spend time to read through slowly to understand the deep meaning. It will benefit you. Okay, so let us get ourselves composed and started. We will do the puja chanting as usual. Let us develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Pho. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Milapo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Tizang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu miccāchāra veeramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mosāvādā veeramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamādatthāna veeramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple Gem. Vedang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just maintain some form of attention, relax body and mind. I will give you some instruction, based on Sister Han's sharing, that will be very useful. If you just follow this instruction, it will be very simple, very easy to develop the meditation. The other thing is also our last Tuesday sharing, also very useful. You go and listen the introduction. Actually, Sarah followed that one. She must have listened to that talk, and she just followed that one and developed the understanding. That's why she was able to develop the meditation so well. Okay, I will ask Sui to get the notes out. And I will go through you so that you can develop the understanding. So this morning she wrote to me, is it Bratio Amitofo? We are she Mandarin educated. She said, Kanan to Bratio for your dedication and guidance. Then she put the bagus sign, the thumb. Sadhu, 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 and rejoice. With metta always, from Po Cheng, Han Po Cheng. She is the sister of our Malaysian Han. Then she told me, she said, I was full of joy. And she smiled. I just used the technique taught by Brother Teo. First is understand what is meditation so that develop the meditation with understanding. So you can recall my last Tuesday's opening sharing. What is meditation is very important. Because this understanding will keep you in focus. Eh? Like the Buddha said, to meditate, you need to have that trained mind in heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, eh? Especially verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So to meditate, you must have heedfulness. And to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. So the first training, like my Tuesday class instruction, is always to develop the training of mind to be aware, to have sati, then stabilize it, to realize the true mind, the silent mind. So that is what meditation is all about. And the reason why most people cannot meditate is because they lack the five spiritual faculty. Then the mental hindrance came in, but they don't know. Then when they meditate, they try to calm down, they try to meditate, they can't. That's where the problem is. Then all those who teach also don't understand. They recommend method, technique, and meditation object and give you instruction to meditate, not knowing that this will lead to thought-based meditation, verbalization, focusing, concentration. But the actual meditation is just to maintain awareness, to train your mind to be mindful, to realize the true mind. And that has been forgotten. Or people don't have the understanding. That's why all the teaching has already gone the other way, which is thought-based, no longer awareness-based meditation. So what is meditation is most important. So if I know I'm here to train my mind to develop mindfulness, that's why the Buddha teach mindfulness of in and out breath, anapanasati. So I just train. I just develop that. And the fastest way is to develop the spiritual faculty so that the mental hindrance is not there, so that you can settle down very quickly, directly, into the meditative state. Because without the mental hindrance, there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, to develop the silent mind, which is your true mind, the meditative mind. So this is what exactly she did. Then she go on to the four support. Yeah? The four support is very important, especially the first three. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then after that, maintain awareness. And the instruction is, don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just follow the instruction, simple. Relax, maintain awareness. Then everything will fall into place. And she realized this instruction is so profound, yet so easy and simple. You must read this and understand it. So this instruction is very important. Understand what is meditation, then you are able to do it. Then just follow the instruction. Don't go and create doubt and add your whatever conditioning that you have learned from other places or other people's technique, method, and all those things. Forget about it. Develop the faith and trust yourself and just do what is been told. Give it a try. Find out for yourself, just like what Sister Han was able to realize. Then the next one she said is, relax is key for me. She realized that. That's why I say relaxation is very important. To relax body and mind is very important. I will just give a summary. What is meditation is very important. According to the Buddha, to meditate, you must train your mind to be heedful. And to be heedful is very important. Where the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Dhammapada verse 21. So understanding that, it will keep us on focus. If you can maintain your training of mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to meditate. That is what heedfulness is all about. So just do that. The Buddha also taught the five spiritual faculty. He said, if you have the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will not be there. So if the mental hindrance are not there, there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why Han was able to share towards the end. He said, no mental hindrance at all because her spiritual faculty is already developed. Her daily mindfulness is also already developed. And she is able to realize that state of mind, which is very beautiful. Then after that, she said, the next understanding is the four support. So to meditate awareness-based meditation, you need the four support. Relax into whatever mind state there has arisen. Then maintain awareness. Maintain awareness means just silence your mind. Don't do anything. Aware means no thinking, no thought process, just aware, finish. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything while you're in the meditation. Because trying to know is the thought. The doing is always by the thought. So when your thought is active, you cannot be in the state of awareness or mindfulness, which means you are not meditating, you are verbalizing, you are doing thought-based meditation. You are trying to follow certain instruction to do things with the thought process. You may also go and focus, concentrate, then verbalize. So all these are the traditional old way of thought-based meditation. It's because people who don't understand, they teach based on what they heard, and they become gullible because they think this is meditation, this is vipassana. So when you note rising, falling, they say this is vipassana. Then when you are doing certain technique and certain type of method, then they say that is also vipassana. So the word vipassana get people interested. But if you don't have the understanding, you become gullible. That's how you go wrong. Then she just did exactly as per the instruction. Then she realized, she said, the instruction is so profound, yet so easy and so simple. So understand this. Take note of this. No need to be complicated. The meditation is very simple. So you can do this. Relax and maintain awareness, then let it stabilize, let it return to its original state before the thinking. Then the mundane mind, the thinking mind, will cease. That's how you realize your true mind, your silent mind, your tranquility of mind, your stillness of mind. Just the awareness nature, just aware, nothing else inside there. There is no being, no word, no concept, nothing, just that nature, and that nature is so beautiful. Then I read on. Then she say, how to pronounce this word? Voila. Voila. Wow. Amazing. Then she rejoices. Then she said, relax is key for me. She knew. If you're not relaxed, means your thought is moving. You are stressed. There is something disturbing you. That's why relax, both body and mind. If you can relax, means you are at ease. That's why relaxation is very important. When you can relax, you actually de-stress yourself. You actually make your mind quiet, peaceful, and calm. Well, when you are relaxed, you no need to think. You no need to do anything. You are at ease. In Mandarin, it's called zi zha. That is the state of mind that you must have. At ease. No need to do anything. Just maintain awareness. Then whatever arise, aware. If you need to endure, you endure, like itchiness or whatever, or tingling sensation or whatever. Just aware. Then need to endure, endure. As if you are dead, you cannot respond. That is the state of mind that you should be in. So that this mind will become more and more quiet, more and more peaceful, and more tranquil and aware. Just do that to realize the silent mind. So no need to do anything. or know anything, she said, and she put two bagus signs. That is the key. When you don't do anything, when you don't try to know anything, means the thought is not there. That's why you can be in that state of silence. Understand that. That is the development of sati leading to the meditative mind. Then she moved on. She said, sadhu is a virtue. Rejoice with your good understanding. Sorry, this one is, I reply to her first. I said, sadhu, 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 and I gave her the bagus sign too. Rejoice with your good understanding too. You can now join us on our Zoom live conference weekly classes too. Also our website to view the video and audio file, etc. We'll send you the Zoom link later on, which I send separately. Then she replied, she said, thank you, Rachel. I rejoice with my own good understanding too, learning from Brother Teo. And she rejoiced. And the next sentence is very beautiful. She said, no mental hindrance at all when she was in that meditative state. My mind was so still, quiet, calm, soothing and tranquil. Just awareness nature before the knowing. See? She understand, she developed the understanding of what that thing is before the knowing. No thought involved, completely without thought. How can you have a free mind without thought? You can go and do all the method and technique. You need to focus and concentrate and kill the thought. Otherwise, your mind cannot be silent. That's why awareness-based meditation is so simple and yet so potent. And it takes you to that state of no thought, which is Huining's first hallmark, Wu Nian, and you can realize it straight away. So hopefully with this understanding shared by Sister Han Po Cheng, you all can develop the faith and the confidence. And you will go all out to understand what is meditation, then do it. It's just so simple. Huh? Then I read on. She said, then seeing things as they are and awakened by it. Very amazing experience indeed. In the past, it's all by knowledge. But now, it is in the meditative state, in sati, very different. You are able to realize that, I sadhu you. That's why I rejoice with what she has gone through. And she was able to describe it so well. So simple. Then in the actual sharing, you saw that big folded palm, sadhu sign. That was very beautiful, very appropriate for her experience. So hopefully with this understanding, you can develop the meditation. I think more and more people can develop the understanding and realize that true mind, the silent mind. The moment you develop that, you already develop it very well. You already progress very well. We have to reach that stage. It's not easy. Not easy. That is the beginning of awareness-based meditation. Even though I say beginning, but your parami become very different. Do you know that? To have a moment of silent awareness without thought. Without thought means what? Without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That is your pure mind, your true mind. Do you know that whoever who can realize that, the merits that come with that pure thought, pure state, is limitless. Without comparison. That's why after that, no need to go and create for merits and all those things. There are all those things that people do with the thought process without the wisdom is called tinted merits. The merits are tinted and there is no comparison for these two times. That's why the real understanding of awareness-based meditation will transform you and your nature become very different. your karmic nature, your understanding, your spiritual nature, everything will transform. So with that, I think we will start the meditation. I will off the light, then I will set that up. Then you can just follow the instruction. Silent, relax, body and mind. Maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Then let the mind settle down. This is what meditation is all about. If you need to train, of course, it's up to you. But if you have the spiritual faculty, no need. Okay, I will set the alarm half an hour. Then after that, when the alarm trigger off, I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner mindfulness or awareness that you have for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to make use of when you live your life. So when you can stabilize your mindfulness and develop the heedfulness, then you will be in the state of ever mindful for living life. Then when your mind is trained, when your mind has developed the ability to be in sati most of the time, you will start to feel the difference between your heedless thinking mind and the heedful mind. The mind that is heedful is always peaceful, quiet, tranquil, and aware within. And to have that mind state, you must be aware from inside all the time. Then only you can have that ability to be mindful most of the time or all the time. So that is what the meditative state is. If you are not aware within, you are lost in thought. Then from the awareness, you can act, you can move, you can arise, whatever. Speech, action, and thought process, no problem. But there is constant awareness within. You are ever mindful. You are with your nature, acting from there, living from there, listening from there. All your senses, smell, taste, touch, tactile, and thought process, they are all with awareness from inside. That is the true meditative mind state. Not easy to do it, but easy to realize the true mind first, then stabilize it. Then stage by stage, you move on. You will understand. So my nature rejoices once again with all those great metta who has developed the understanding and the progress. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we'd like to thank Sister Han for all the good sharing. So like I said, this is to develop the faith and the confidence in you all so that you all can really have the faith to do it. Because if she can do it, I think almost all of you should be able to do it. She also, like you all, untrained in the path, do not have the understanding. And suddenly she can really go into it and develop that clear understanding, which is very beautiful. That's why you all can also hear the sharing from Alicia, where the heartbeat, where the mind becomes so quiet and so still. She used the Mandarin word, I forgot already. Very soothing, very still, very quiet. And see, something like that. I don't know Mandarin. What is that word? Very fine. See, and see. Very good. And there are also others who can do it. So we should all develop the faith, then diligently strive on with heedfulness to develop all this. And it's not difficult. You just have to relax into every mind state and maintain awareness. Initially, you have to be patient. Don't try to know, because that thought is the one that always conditions you into the old mode of thinking, the habitual tendency. The thought will tell you to progress. You must develop something. So the thought is always looking for progress. So when the thought is active, it tries to describe, it tries to like explain, it tries to do. This is where you go wrong. That's why I say, don't try to know. Don't try to do. Silent. You're supposed to realize the state of no thought. How can you trigger off the thought? Wherever there is thought, there is no meditation. Here you cannot be aware anymore. You already start to verbalize. Yeah? So when you are in that state, you just relax, maintain silent awareness, then just away. Yeah, you have a physical body, you have your senses, you have the consciousness trapped inside. So the awareness, which is separate from the consciousness, will be able to detect the tactile phenomena that arise. Whenever you detect, just away, finish. Don't continue with the thinking. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just maintain silent inner awareness. Don't do anything. That is how you develop the ability to experience the meditative mind, the silent mind, the true mind. In the past, I cannot speak to you in this way. You know, everybody will get frightened. You know, nobody teach meditation in that way. But now, more and more people can do it. That's why I can go into it more deeper, clearer. Not until you realize that you cannot understand what I say. What I say comes from that ability to be silent. Yes, from the silent mind it arises. Then when you have this experience, you will understand my unique code, unique Dhamma code. Because it's all from that meditative mind, the understanding. And the Dhamma is all from there. Without that mind, you cannot awaken, just like what Sister Han realized. The silent mind awaken. You just see, and it's so different from the knowledge base. Yeah? Because this is the deep awareness. The direct seeing is just awaken. Yeah? Okay, we will move on to page 94, and we will continue with the sharing from the Heart Sutta. Yeah? Page 94, part 3. Okay. Meditation. How long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? This is a very good question. Yeah? So this question is very good. Yeah? The person who asks is, in meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? What do you think? You must do it to understand, because everyone is different. That's why my answer is very simple. It depends on the individual. If you have cultivated correctly and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast, almost immediately. It can happen within minutes or sometimes. The moment you're silent, you are already in that state. In your daily life, you are already ever mindful, constantly meditating. You are actually in the meditative state. So when you lie down in a formal meditation, it's even easier to be in the meditative state, because there is no activity, there is no movement. Yeah. But for some people, because they don't have that stability, so it may take a while. Eh? If your spiritual faculty is still not stable, it may take a while. Eh? How long it takes, it depends on your understanding. Depends on your ability to follow the instruction. And also it depends on your past cultivation, the parami that you have developed. Then also if you have invoked the power of merit. Eh? For causes and conditions for this to arise, then it can happen. Sometimes, miraculously, it just happens very fast. So this is the part you need to understand. It can happen within minutes, but if you have not done the training and the wisdom is not established as yet, then it may not happen. And to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult and arduous task. Because you don't have the understanding, Anasana. You go and do the thought-based meditation. You go and note this, note that, focus here, focus there. Then you chase after meditation object, technique, method, sometimes teacher. You are missing the understanding part. To be successful in anything you do, you must have the understanding. Maybe meditation or anything else. like learning a skill, doing investment, studying, you need understanding. If you don't know how to study, you will not study well, you will not progress, you will not do well. But if you know how to study, you investigate and understand, or you learn from people who has gone through it, then you understand yourself very clearly what suits you and what does not suit you. Then you can adopt your own way, your own understanding. That's how you do well, you succeed. Career is the same. Meditation is the same. Learning something is the same. Even investment. If you don't have understanding, you will lose. Then you try to invest your money. Because investment is not what you think, not so easy. When you don't understand, it is your own defilement, your greed, and your fear that condition you into negativity of mind state. Yeah. Out of greed, you buy high. Out of fear, you panic, you sell low. That's why you do the opposite of what is the appropriate understanding or truth of investment. To make money from investment, to be successful investment, is very simple. Buy low, sell high. Why can't you do it? Then the question is, what is low? How low is low? You continue to ask questions, no use. You should inquire. Why did the successful investor keep on telling value investing? Buy into value. Buy low when it's cheap. When is it cheap? Find out. During crisis. Crisis, the main reward is very good. Two things happen during crisis, you see. Wei qi, these two words form that word crisis. Yeah. Wei is wei xian, danger. During crisis, there is danger. A lot of things can go wrong. Then it can lead to a lot of bankruptcy, death, disruption of economic activities, yeah, and life. Qi is qi hui, opportunity. So you know how to understand that during crisis there is opportunity, then you will be successful. Why is there opportunity in crisis? Because during crisis, people panic. Things will be cheap, understand? So when things are cheap, even stock market will be cheap, property will be cheap, a lot of things will be very cheap. You're out of fear, panic. People just sell, then cash flow problem and all those things. So you must prepare yourself for crisis. Means save money. Get ready your money. And when you buy things cheap, you can multiply them manyfold. When the crisis subsides, or they believe the worst is over, like COVID-19, when they start to see country opening up, airline going to take off, and international flight also going to resume, then they realize the worst is over. That's why you see the big divergence in the stock market. All over the world, the stock market are rising. Whereas people know because of COVID-19, the past 4 or 5 months, things has not been good. And in fact, a lot of people see more severe negativity of economic problem and result, especially joblessness and all those things, disruption of business. So consumption, economic activity for the past few months has been very bad. And GDP, the growth of a lot of country has become negative, and by big numbers. But why is the divergence in the stock market? Because people's perception is very important. They perceive the worst is over. That's why, despite whatever happened in the United States, the riots, the protesters, and all those things, but the market yesterday still went up 500 over points. That's why the world market rally again today. Yeah. But every country phenomenon is different. That's why you must have understanding. So in crisis, there is opportunity where you understand. So understanding makes you successful, makes the difference. So meditation is the same. When you understand, you know how to meditate. You will not be gullible. You will not be foolish. So this question is very appropriate. How long does it take for the mind to settle down into stillness, to realize the silent mind, the true mind, the meditative mind? This one I'm talking about a free mind, not a mind in concentration, absorption, and focusing. Not those things. This one is a free mind. For a free mind, not to be agitated, not to have restlessness, not to have any other mental hindrance, do you think it's easy to have such a mind? Do you think it's easy? And I can tell you, if you understand, it's very easy. That's why Sister Han can do it. Alicia can do it. Song, they all can do it. Even Engdi, they all can do it. Many of them in the retreat also can do it. Then why can't you understand it and do it? It's the same. So understanding is very important. But if you don't have the understanding, then you become gullible. You believe in what people tell you, what your conditioned mind is telling you. You look for a big name. Wow, they say this is Vipassana. Or they say this monk already enlightened. This monk very good. This teacher very good. Then you go after the name. You don't investigate. You don't find out. You just gullibly follow. So if you happen not to have the good parami or karmic nature, then it's like the blind following the blind. Where do you end up? you end up somewhere else. You will be far away from what you want to do. So this understanding is very important. Then the second question is also very important, 3.2. What actually returned to the source? Where they hurt me every time I say, when you realize enlightenment, the cessation of form and mind, the mind cease. There, the four circles that we have gone through earlier. So the question is, what returned to the source? What do you think? When you understand who are you, what are you, then you will know. The form and mind is not you, no. That's why that one cannot return. Then what return? The true mind, also the unconditioned, not a being. So who return? Nothing return. Yes, the mundane mind realizes itself through wisdom and sees, finished. That's how you realize the unconditioned. That's why he know you, he know me, no one to be enlightened. You still gullibly believe, wow, you have strived so hard. And you crave or look forward for the enlightenment. The mundane mind will always think that way. But not the one with wisdom. The one with wisdom will understand. That's why my answer to this question is very simple. There is no one to return to the source. It's just the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. The cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is without any mind and totally without any thought or even the pure awareness or consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken of or expressed or understood via words, knowledge or idea or concept, which is still within the field of thought. So this answer is most beautiful, very complete. The mind ceases, but you are not dead. Means that form and mind that realizes Nibbana, you are not dead. And the consciousness can still come back if it is still not time for that form and mind to realize Parinibbana as yet. It is just like the analogy of a candlelight that ceases. That's the reason why under the teaching, they will tell you there are two types of Nibbana. Nibbana with residue and Nibbana without residue. So one way of understanding it is Nibbana with residue means the Arahan or the Bodhisattva that has realized that cessation of form and mind, the enlightenment. It's not time for them to cease or parinibbana because their five aggregate of form and mind, they still have the karmic force to support them, the karmic nature. That's why that five aggregate of form and mind still arise and pass away, arise and pass away. But this five aggregate, for those who are enlightened without ignorance, it is pure aggregate, non-grasping. That's why it's not upadana khandas. It's just pure aggregate, pure khandas. And this pure khandas is very strange. It cannot grasp, it cannot hold. Do you know why? Because there is wisdom and it knows everything is not real, not what you think. That's why rupang anicang, rupang anatta, vedana anicang, vedana anatta, sanya anicang, sanya anatta, sankara anicang, sankara anatta, vijnanang anicang, vijnanang anatta. That's what the Buddha taught, and he advised the monk to constantly chant this. And after that, sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukkang, then finally sabbe dhamma anatta. And this is taught to the monks to be chanted very often during their morning puja or evening puja, depending on how they arrange it in the chanting book. So at the retreat, we chant this a lot. I still remember in the early days when I went to my teacher's way place, somewhere in Kanchanapuri, the temple is called Sunyataram. Sunyataram. Sunyata is emptiness. Sunyataram is the temple of emptiness where you can realize emptiness there. So when I was there in the early 90s, I think, early 90s, that place was so beautiful. That nature there was so beautiful. The vibration, the energy, that setting, everything was so conducive. And my nature can feel them. And it was so beautiful. So at that place, I still remember the first time I went there, my teacher Ajayandra was so happy. I went there with another friend, Uncle Koo. Now, Uncle Koo is about almost 18 or 20 years my senior. But he is a very nice guy. He's very healthy, I think still alive. Now by now should be 80 something. So Ajayandra knew both of us because I brought Uncle Koo to see him and we become close friends. Then we make that trip up there, I remember. So when we met Ajayandra the first night, he quickly waved to us. He was giving the Dhamma talk and sharing to a group of monks and fellow lay people. It's a very big group, big crowd, the usual activity happening. Then he passed the message to the disciple, to us, to ask us to wait for him until the talk end. So the usual one, after the talk end, got people see him. So we waited almost 12 something to 1 a.m. midnight beyond. Then when we meet up with him, he told us to follow him. He took us up to his kuti, private kuti on the hilltop, mountain top. Then he said, tonight you all will stay on the kuti just below him, which is halfway up the hill, pitch on a cliff thing with a tree. So later on we come to know that was the kuti of his chief disciple. So he has told his chief disciple to actually stay. stay down there. Then he let us stay on that kuting. And that day, that night, after we left and stayed there, something very strange happened. That's why in the middle of the night, almost 3:30 a.m., I felt something on my head. I never sleep. I was meditating throughout the night, fully awake. It's like this ends. It disturbed my head up here. Where I was lying down with a cloth. Cloth. You know what is a cloth, isn't it? The mosquito netting for cultivator or meditator in Thailand. So we were two of us. So the other one, Uncle Ku, was sleeping and I can hear him snoring very loud. Then I was lying down, mindful anyway. Then I sensed something circling around my forehead here. Not forehead, here, what do you call this one? The apex of the head. Yes. At the end there, it was near the netting. So they came down to the netting there and just move around there. And I feel some very soothing movement. Then I decide to find out what that thing is. So I mindfully open my eye and I check. Then I saw ants. A lot of ants. But on my side, very little. Only one small group come down to where I lie down, the netting there, and just like tell me it's time to wake up. Then when I get up mindfully and I wanted to meditate, you know what happened? I saw the other cloth of my friend, the Uncle Ku. The whole netting was 3/4 full with ants. Yeah, he was snoring. Then I had to slowly call him. I said, Uncle Ku, Uncle Ku. He couldn't hear. Then after 3 or 4 call, then he suddenly like wake up. I call louder. Then I said, don't panic. Before you open your eye, don't panic. I say, you know what happened? The moment he opened his eye, he had a shock. He panicked. He saw the end, so he cannot believe it. I said, don't panic. Silent. Meditate. Radiate metta. And you know what happened? Miraculously, within 1 or 2 minutes, all the ends dispersed. Then after that, within less than a minute, because we were talking, then he asked me, how come the end is no more? I said, there is Dhamma end, very special end. Then he told me, what time is it? I said, 3:40 something, almost 3:45. And you know what happened? Immediately after that, we heard the chanting from the monks. Then all the Thai chanting, Namo Tassa and all things. At first it's the Arahant. Then later on, I heard this one. Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta. The moment I heard that, my nature like soar up. S-O-A-R, soar up. It was full of joy. And I knew what those Dhamma were. It was so beautiful. Then I told him, I said, Cole, it's time to go down. He said, so earlier. I said, chanting already started. We are here for Dhamma. So we get ready, then we came down. Then the first thing that his disciple, after he met us, asked us is what? Did the end come and visit you? Both of us were so like amazed because his kuti, he must have known about this so-called Dhamma end. I straight away said to him, I said, yeah, the Dhamma end came. Oh, he was very happy, he said. Then he knew why Ajayantra put us there. He pointed to me and he said, he pointed to my heart. Then he pointed back to his heart. He said, your nature, my nature, our nature, same, he said. Same, same. Because his Thai, his English was not so good. Then I sadhu him. I said, sadhu, sadhu. Means he is also a very good cultivator. So that's how all these things can happen. And this sharing is to give you faith, to give you understanding. When your mind state is different, when you are fully aware, when you are mindful, you are hitful, you are different. That time already after 1989, I think that year I went there was 92. So all these things were very, very beautiful, very amazing. So since there is condition to share, that's why I share with you. So now we go back to our Heart Sutta. Okay. So wait, bring it down a bit. I know, you bring it down a bit. Wait, never mind. So you see, the mind ceases, but you are not dead. And the consciousness can still come back if it is still not time for parinibbana as yet. It is just like the energy of the candlelight that ceases. So when the candlelight ceases, you don't say die. You don't say the candlelight die. Because there is no life. Means there is no more fuel, no more condition to burn. So our five aggregate of form and mind is the same. If any of the three conditions that support is arising is no more, like your karmic force cease to come, that's why you can realize nibbana, cessation of form and mind. We call it return to the oneness, the source. But actually no one returns. Because the mundane mind that realizes itself, that wisdom, enable it to cease and have that nibbanic. I don't call it an experience. There's nothing to experience. There is no mind, no thought. It's not even a consciousness. It's not even a mind. It just cannot describe the unconditioned. Yeah. But the form of mind that goes through it will understand. Will understand. Because if it's not time for that being that realizes enlightenment to go through parinibbana and cease, that life force will come back. But when it come back, it's not within that form and mind decision. You don't have any control over it. It will come back on its own. I remember when it come back, a lot of things happen. So when it happened to you, you describe to me, then I will know whether you have got it right or not. But the person who goes through will understand. Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's like from the source, everything starts all over again. That's how I come to know the pure awareness come up. Then the three areas of consciousness, they straight away take their position. Then after that, it animates the brain, animate the heart area, animate the dantian area, then the whole human being become alive again. That's how creation starts. Then, just like what Alicia last time described, you have to start to, like, I think, experience everything, how the sense data come in one by one, slowly. Like I described to you at Cameron Highland Retreat in the early years where I realized that cessation then while coming down. The mind was so still. It is so aware. Then it starts to like understand how all these things will come back and animate you back into a normal human being again. Then your senses will start to function again. But you saw it so clearly. How the sense data come in, how upon contact, it's like slow motion to show it to you. But it's actually not slow motion. You go through that cessation, then you come out, whole process repeat for you to see. That's how your wisdom become very stable, very penetrating. And without going through all this, without realizing all this, you can never have the real understanding. Most of the time is knowledge, but this one you cannot read from book because nobody will tell you. Actually, very few people can explain to you where they have to use word, but the word is not the thing. That's why you have to go through it, like the realization of the silent mind, the true mind. You have to realize it. That's awareness nature. You have to realize it. So this is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. This is the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. And it's so wonderful. Hope this will give you faith and confidence so that you will strive on with heedfulness, with sincerity, with faith and persevere. Then your time will come. You all will awaken. Okay? So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we go on to point 3.3. Mental liberation and the non-Buddhist. So this question is also very interesting. The questioner asks, Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddhist way. Actually, it's the Buddha's teaching, not the Buddhist way. Then the question is, can non-Buddhists also gain liberation of mind via meditation? What do you think? What do you think? Yeah, definitely it can. Like my daughter just answered, very simple. The Buddha was never a Buddhist. Yeah, you call him, his teaching Buddhism, where he's the Buddha, you add an ism in. Then all those who follow his religion become Buddhist. These are labels created by thought. It's a division. But the answer I gave is very easy to understand. I say yes, because like the Buddha said, the Dhamma or truth are already there before him, and he only realized it after the enlightenment. So truth is not monopolized by Buddhism or any religion. For that matter, whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is not your truth, not my truth. For these are the individual's opinion of truth. You understand this? You understand. The truth is the reality that explains the way things are. That is what truth is. If you can explain how things arise, how things cease, the way things are, then that teaching has the truth. That's why the Buddha's teaching is about Dhamma, truth, noble truth, nature's law. So all this is very beautiful. That's why the Buddhist teaching is so wonderful, that you don't have to believe in anything. There is no dogmas. There is no belief system. It's very scientific. It can be understood by anyone who is willing to investigate and develop the understanding. But what you need is awareness, mindfulness, which is beyond thought, beyond the mundane mind. So if you use thought, thought-based with knowledge, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. This teaching needs to be realized by the wise each for themselves through their silent mind, through their self-nature, the meditative mind. That's why the Buddhist teaching is very different. The Buddhist meditation is very different. It's not ordinary meditation. It's not about focusing, concentration, energy field, thought-based. Everything that is thought-based is within the field of thought. How can you realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought and beyond mind? No way. There is no way. That's the reason why to study the Dhamma, to understand the Dhamma, you need to be heedful. You need to have sati. And that's the reason why Hui Ning knew, he said, you must realize the first hallmark, no thought. No thought means to realize your true mind, your self-nature, your meditative mind. Otherwise, you can't start. Without the mindfulness, the heedfulness, the true mind, you cannot be heedful. cannot understand this teaching. There's a reason why this teaching is so beautiful, so wonderful. Yeah? So with that, we move on. Yeah? When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank? Now, what do you think? I don't know what happened that day, the lesson 17. A lot of very good questions, because I think they were excited by the sharing and all those things. Then that one conditioned their mind to probe. Then sometimes it could be the non-human up there, the cultivator, the Dhamma protector. They want to understand. So they were conditioned, the Kayamita or the human being down there, to ask that type of question. There's a reason why sometimes when I was doing the sharing at Wubing Jinsa, you can ask them many times, many occasions. The rain was so heavy, the thunder was so loud. It's like they were rejoicing. Then a few times, the thunder was so loud, it tripped the electricity. And we had to reset it back. And the timing of it is very, very strange. Many occasions. Anyway, I will read to you my answer, then you will understand. So the question is, when meditating, is it normal that the mind goes blank for a while? So my answer is very simple. The mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time, depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what is the main purpose of bhavana or meditation. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths, so that our mind can be liberated from all suffering or entanglements of life that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking our mind or developing the very special meditative experiences during meditation. So this is very important. You must understand this. The very special or beautiful meditative experience that arise during meditation are only conditioned mind states. And if they do not bring about a transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Then certain type of one-pointedness concentration or absorption meditation can also bring about a state of like no thought. I use the word like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any thought because they are in the state of one-pointedness. Yeah. But there is no awareness also within. No thought, also no awareness, is like blank. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature, means born of concentration, focusing, one-pointedness. Where they kill all the thought into one point, then it develops energy. That's why you cannot think, you cannot move. But the funny thing is people don't understand. Who is the one that perceives no thought? Is the thought in there. So no thought is a thought. There's the thought that perceives there is no thought. The real awareness, stillness, where there is no thought, the awareness that is aware of it is without words, without thought. And that one is different. That one, you experience that state as a free mind, which is very different. Whereas this one is full of energy. Then I read on, you will understand. One will have to release the absorption or concentration energy to normal state of awareness to cultivate sati sampajana om, the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, to develop the insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment. Otherwise, do you know what will happen? If you go to Mahayana temple and you go and do that type of meditation, you become very still, fully concentrated. You know what happened or not? If the Zen master is somebody who understands, he will come and whack you. And you will feel like very strange. Sometimes also the meditator get very upset. Why is the monk doing this to me? Why is the master doing this to me? If you ask further and probe, you know what the monk will tell you. We already have enough statue in the temple. We don't want to have another one down here. You know what is a statue or not? No mind. So very still. No thought. So you do that type of samatha meditation, one point on earth, and then you are like the statue. That's why they whack you. They want to remind you that you have lost focus, you have deviated. That is not mindfulness, awareness-based meditation. That can never lead to realization. That it kills all the thought and blank you out. Sometimes it's like you totally blank for many hours. It's like when they put you on anesthesia, they numb your part of the brain. Then after the operation, you come out. You cannot remember anything during that 2-3 hour or 3-4 hour operation. You cannot remember anything. You are not conscious. You have become unconscious. They numb you. That part of the brain that is responsible for consciousness and awareness cannot function. So if you do that, your mind go blank. When you come out, you don't have any awareness. You don't even know what happened inside. But it's like you have rested very long. That calmness make you very peaceful. And sometimes if you combine with metta, you know how to release out the energy. Then you become like full of metta. Then it's like you are enlightened. During that time, that samatha energy can really steal your whole heart, your emotion, your mental hindrance, all the negativity or mind state cannot arise because they are all being suppressed by the energy field. There is no condition for it. There is under strong absorption concentration or what they call jhana, jhanic energy field. So that is thought-based meditation, energy field. One-pointedness, absorption, and concentration. So if you do that, you must have good teacher and someone who can understand to guide you. Otherwise, you can get into trouble. Yeah, this one can lead to problem. They call it defilement of insight. Then you can go astray. The Mara can come after you and get you into trouble. Okay, so that's the end, is it? Okay, we go to the next chapter. Lesson 18, Heart Sutta 1.1. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. You see, the word I use, if you pay attention, you will understand. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dhamma. I bolster this word so that you can pay attention as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness, we are in awareness of all action and all movement in daily life. All your feelings, your citta or content of consciousness, and all the Dhamma that arise and passes away from moment to moment. Within the present moment, within your form and mind, the real wisdom cannot arise. That's the reason why I always say, be a silent observer. It is only through that silent observation that you come to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how your mind state can be stirred into negativity, and what are the things that is responsible. Your wrong view, your sakkayaditti, your ignorance, your lack of wisdom, mindfulness, and awareness. That's how you see. And when you see, you awaken, you straighten your view, and you cannot go back to the old way. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. Sati is very important. After you develop it, you have to stabilize it so that you are ever mindful, constantly meditating. Otherwise, you cannot be helpful. Then I will continue to read on. When there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion. Whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion and harmony. Also tranquility, stillness of mind, clarity of mind. You will experience all this. This is a trained mind. This is a mind that is heedful, aware. Don't have the hindrance, no agitation, no doubt, no restlessness, no sloth and torpor, no sensual desire and evil. That one belongs to the heedless mind that lacks spiritual faculties. That's why the mental hindrance take over and you become heedless. That's how you get yourself entangled in life, conditioned into negativity or mind state. Then suffering arise, affliction arise, misery arise. So this is what Dhamma is all about, meditation is all about. Without mindfulness, without daily mindfulness, you don't stand a chance. Like I used to explain, when you live life, your senses are fully engaged in life. How can you cope with life when you are not mindful, when your mindfulness is not stable? Every moment of sense experience, like seeing consciousness, your mind reacts, stir, and creates so much proliferation of thought or thinking. Then you create all the like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. These are mental hindrances. Then your mind is always restless, agitated, without wisdom, without faith, without confidence, full of doubt. That's why the mental hindrances are there. And there is no way you can live life. You can be aware in life. You can be sensitive in life. You can't see. You are like blind. That's why without daily mindfulness, the Buddha said, you are heedless. And the heedless is as if dead. Yes, you may be alive, conscious of life, but your spiritual life is dead. You don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance to awaken, to become enlightened, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. That's why without heedfulness, you really don't stand a chance. So all of meditation is to understand that you need to train your mind and develop heedfulness. And to do that, you must start with mindfulness, stabilize it until it's very stable, to realize your true mind. Then from there, the real meditation starts. Stabilize it through daily mindfulness, a good religious routine, daily religious routine. Then develop the faith, Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Then be sincere, persevere. Just do. Don't try to know. Understand. Relax. Maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. To realize the true mind, the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. To develop the meditative mind. To realize no thought, only your true nature, your self nature. Hopefully by now everything is already so clear, so beautiful, so easy to understand. So today sharing, you must thank Sister Han. Without her sharing, I will not go in so deep to explain all these things. If nobody is ready, there is no condition for the deeper Dhamma to arise. That's the reason why you must cultivate, you must develop the understanding. Then you must share them, so that you yourself gain understanding, confidence, faith. Then because you have gratitude, you have respect, and you want to do your part to help other kayamita to develop the faith and the confidence and to move. That's the reason why all this sharing are very useful, very beautiful. And for her, it comes naturally. There is no ego at all, I can feel. And her joy is so sincere. Because the first time when she came for the class and the retreat, I still remember, she was so conditioned and so heedless that time. She cannot understand mine. But I love her, what I should say, her attitude. She is willing to learn. She is willing to develop the understanding. That's why she has faith. And she keep on sharing that she will come back, she will listen, she will learn the teaching and all that. And so far, from Singapore, she is one of the most beautiful, apart from Jia, and also because Sandra also, but Sandra not so fast. Han is faster. There is a Christian name for Han, is it? Or Sarah. I heard Yun Chan call her Sarah. I remember, yeah, people call her Sarah. Initially, she introduced her as Sarah Han. She is a very cute lady. Very cute. A lot of joy, smile a lot, laugh a lot. Very sincere. But a very confident lady. Keen to learn. That is the attitude. Sincere, have faith, persevere, and keen to learn. Very down to earth. So this part is most beautiful, daily mindfulness. Then I read on the next paragraph. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or phenomena at every moment of sense experience is very important. This one is to teach you the appropriate wisdom to deal with life. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher. Means everything that arises in life becomes your teacher. Because Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. So when you already develop the wisdom, the Dhamma understanding, then you can see them. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? That's why you will learn more and more things. You will experience more and more things. And you develop more and more wisdom. And you will come to realize your greatest teacher is life. It is from life that you learn. You learn the most. Because meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path are path factors that you need to live life. Every of these path factors is very noble. And you need them. That's why you are called Noble Ones when you become enlightened. Noble ones are those who are very noble in all aspects of life. They have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. That's why they are very noble in their understanding of life, in understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, the pancha niyamas. Then with this right view, they will know how to live life, because these are the great universal order that governs all of life and existence. So when you understand them, you like understand the secret of life, and you will know how to live life in accordance with this law. Then you are also very noble in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you arise your thought process, the way you act and speak and communicate with people. That's why Noble Eightfold Path start with right view, right understanding. Then you will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, and the right way to communicate with people. Then the four right effort will be a natural consequence when you have this understanding. Then after that, the mindfulness, the right mindfulness and the right samadhi, it is automatic. Without this, you cannot cultivate. That's why when you have all these eight power factors cultivated until it's so stable, until it has become a part of your nature, means you hold the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path factor, then you are definitely an enlightened being in the Arya. Very noble in all aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path factors. That's the beauty of the teaching. Then the enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness only. They will never react or stir. They can accept the reality of the moment and rejoice. Develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations and learn to accept the reality of life, so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve all of life's situations amicably. That's how you should act. The enlightened being always act this way, no other way. They act with wisdom. They don't act according to memory, which are all your conditioning, views, opinion, and phobia, and belief system, and all those things, your insecurity, scars of memory. So all these are accumulated in your memory. But with wisdom, they cannot affect you. They cannot disturb you. That's why you must have wisdom. That when you have wisdom, you don't act according to that memory, that rubbish. You act according to understanding. When you act according to understanding, it's always Noble Eightfold Path. Your Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation that will lead you to the end of all suffering. The path that leads to the end of all suffering. So that is the meditation. That is the way out of suffering. Then you meditate to become enlightened so that you don't suffer anymore, isn't it? That's why Noble Eightfold Path under the fourth noble truth is the meditation. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then it means that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So you go and meditate, and people tell you, wow, after you meditate, you become fantastic, you can do this, you can do that, you can fly, you can levitate, you can read people's mind, you can have psychic, and you become very powerful. Then you check, is there any Noble Eightfold Path? Don't have, then forget about it. Because without Noble Eightfold Path, you are very crude in the way you communicate with people, in the way you understand life, in the way you understand who you are, what you are. You are so egoic, full of wrong view, delusion, ignorance. So how can you claim to have enlightenment when you are not refined in the way you live life, you understand life, and you communicate and deal with fellow living beings, humanity, interact with the environment and whole of humanity? So these are very easy to understand. If you check, you will understand. You will not be gullible. But strangely, the world is full of deluded people. They are very gullible. They become actually very excited when you tell them after you meditate, you can levitate, you can do magic. Oh, people like that thing. So I remember in the early days, there's a group of audience. There was a question from the crowd. They asked Master Xian Huang. He said, there is a, they're supposed to come to know one not so appropriate type of teacher, but he has a lot of students, a lot of followers, and he is very popular, very famous. But Xian Hua tend to give his view and comment about this teacher. Then they asked him this question, so they thought they can corner him. But the way Xian Hua replied is very good. He said, I can give you an example. He said, after you know this example, you will understand. He said, everybody know drug. Yeah? You take drug, it will lead to downfall. It will create a lot of problem to the individual, to society, to humanity, everything. But yet, he said, why is drug so popular? So many people after it. Same principle. So when you understand that, you will not be gullible. If you are attracted by the ecstasy, the drug, the way drug can actually make you high and all this thing, and you don't see the danger, then of course, drug become very popular and people go and look for money and pay for it. So expensive, and yet they pay for it. Then they become slave to that addiction. It's really pitiful. But there is the world. There is karma. There is the way things are. So when you understand, like the Buddha said, choose to be heedful. Don't be heedless. Choose to be happy. Avoid the foolish. Meet up with the wise. So that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. So avoiding all evil and the foolish and the deluded and the heedless is very important. Yeah. But in the world, it's not easy, isn't it? Like you want to avoid those carriers of COVID-19, you think easy. A lot of them are asymptomatic, no symptom. So how are you going to find out? So that word, avoiding all evil or the heedless and the foolish, so that you can meet up the wise, is an aspiration that the Buddha taught you to invoke through power of merit. But I always caution Kayamita, you can make this aspiration, but if you don't make another aspiration, you will not benefit from it. Because if you aspire to avoid the foolish, what must you develop as wisdom? You must have the understanding of who are the foolish, isn't it? Or heedless, isn't it? Then only you can avoid them, isn't it? Otherwise, you become gullible and you think they are buddy, they are your good friend. You keep on clinging to them. On the one hand, you aspire. On the other hand, you don't have the condition to understand. It's just like the one that my student in the early batch used to share with me. Well, but after listening to you, I think I'm not very careful. He said, I make aspiration to avoid evil. I also make aspiration to understand who are the ones that are evil, what constitute evil, and how to recognize them. Then I said, yeah, that's very good. So similarly, I say, do you realize a lot of Mahayana practitioners, they make aspiration to be born during the sasana of Maitreya Buddha, when Maitreya Buddha arrived. Oh, they make aspiration to be born during that time so that they can see him, meet him, and learn the Dhamma. Then my student laughed. No. He said, Bratio, what if they don't recognize him? That's right. Now, after sharing all this, this Kayamita, I remember, is a lady. She tell me, Bratio, my aspiration now different. I aspire to be born, meet, recognize. Not only recognize, follow with faith, and go all out to cultivate. Wow, I say, you have perfected yourself. You didn't miss out anything. So a lot of understanding need to be developed. Then the next question that I always say is, why must you wait till Maitreya to arise? Why can't you do it now with the understanding? With the Bodhisattva vow or way that I have taught you, you don't have to wait for Maitreya to arrive. But that window don't know how long. And sometimes the condition may not be fulfilled. So you can try, you can do no harm. But at the same time, do not be gullible. Don't just say, I make that aspiration, I wait till Maitreya arrives and only have to cultivate. Please don't do that. Cultivation is the here and the now. Full-time job. Oh, 10 already. Okay, I move a bit faster. Luckily, my doctor showed me the time. Okay, 1.2. The four right effort, I think this one easy. We have gone through many times. I just run through. To abandon the unwholesome action. This is the first right effort. The right effort to abandon the unwholesome action, speech and thought that has arisen. So after he has arisen, you are aware of it, then you have to arise the right effort to abandon it. Yeah. Then the second one is to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought, speech, and action that has yet to arise. So this one has yet to arise, you need initial wisdom. Yoniso manasikara. Without yoniso manasikara, you cannot prevent it from arising. When you have the initial wisdom, then you know these are the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action, which violates the Noble Eightfold Path. It constitutes evil. So you cannot arise them. And to see that, you must have mindfulness and wisdom, initial wisdom. Then the initial wisdom straight away prompt you. This one is an evil root. This one is a wrong thought. It has conditioned your wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. So you have to prevent it from arising. So the wisdom will prevent it from arising. Then most of the time, the initial wisdom will come this way. Thing is just the way it is. Finish. People are just the way they are. Finish. You can accept the reality. Then your mind is at peace. It does not stir anymore. Then all you see any of this phenomena, you say rupang anicang, rupang anatta. How then is this? Sabbe sankara anicang, sabbe sankara dukang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Then it's this. These are the wisdom that will arise and prompt you. And you have already cultivated them and developed them. Then your mind can have the second right effort to prevent this unwholesome action, speech, and thought from arising. Then the third one is cultivating the wholesomeness. So right effort to develop and cultivate the right thought, right speech, and right action that are still not in you. So to do this, you must contemplate and reflect what constitutes right thought, which I have gone through with you all. What constitutes right action, right speech, right language, right action. So all this, you have to go through, reflect, contemplate, inquire, then write them down. So that when you understand them, then only you can arise the right effort to cultivate them. As an example, maybe I will give you. What are right action or right speech? Right speech is more important because speech is a very important communication tool. So what are right speech? Speech that are without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. But what are the speeches that are without greed, hatred, and delusion that constitute right speech? So of course, from the Buddha's teaching, they are the four types of appropriate speech, which are the opposite of these four types of wrong speeches. What are the four types of wrong speeches? The first one is what? Harsh speech, okay? What is harsh speech? Very harsh, very violent, full of anger, hatred, negativity of mind state. So what is the opposite of it? It must be gentle, appropriate, kind, and good speeches, isn't it? That's why this is what right speech is all about. Your speech must be gentle, kind, appropriate, leads to harmony, without negativity of mind state. So whatever speech that is gentle, pleasant, kind, appropriate, that leads to harmony, wholesomeness, these are all right speech. Then the second wrong speech is what? Backbiting, isn't it? What is backbiting? Saying things behind people's back. This is an evil intention, no longer sincere. You should always speak the truth sincerely, without any of this envy, jealousy, or negativity of mind state. So the appropriate right speech should be without any negative motive to say bad things about people. You should arise the appropriate right and good speeches that bring about love, harmony, understanding, and joy, so that people develop the faith in you, the understanding. You can tell them, don't worry, what you have gone through is normal. This is the First Noble Truth reality. Not only you experience them, every living being who lives long enough also experience them. And you explain to them this way, they felt better, isn't it? Sure. Then what can you do after that? You say, if you perceive it with wholesomeness, then whatever suffering that you experience, any of the First Noble Truth reality that confront, that you have confronted and developed, the misery where you lack the wisdom, it's like a blessing in disguise for you. Without this problem, you won't seek a solution. You won't come to the Dhamma. You won't confront and meet up with the Dhamma. So, in a way, it's a blessing in disguise because of what happened. It creates a condition for you to seek understanding. Then you come into contact with the teaching. That's how you develop it. Then the third wrong speech is what? Huh? Telling lies. Why must you lie? Because you're scared. Huh? Other people may know your advantages. Or you have a motive behind. You're scared when people come to know you get into trouble. Especially when you lie to your spouse or to your superior or to your company. Or you lie in the midst of society and life. Means you have something behind your back. They say, cannot see the light. Means you must have done something very negative or unwholesome. So you don't have to lie. Be sincere. Approach things with a sincere mind. When you are sincere, when you understand, you don't have to lie. You can still become a salesman without having to lie. And very successful some more. I have explained before. A lot of salesmen last time when I give talk and share, they ask me this question. They say, Brother Teo, you think easy not to lie? I'm a salesman, no. How can I sell a product if I don't lie? Because you don't have the Dhamma, I say, that's why you cannot understand. When you have the Dhamma, you will not do that. Because this is against nature's law. So when you are sincere, people like you and people will give you business. They trust you. It's just like how I deal with my real estate agent or anybody who offers me service. I first sense, this guy is sincere or not? Oh, sincere. Not smart, never mind. I got one agent, my partner used to call her Sormui. Miss, don't have much wisdom on. Whole line make mistake on. And she is very sincere, very simple. So I like her character. So I always give her the chance. And surprisingly, the karma turned out to be very good. She always get me the tenant. Her name is Amy. And sometimes you look at her very miserable. You just go and get her a cardboard, use hand and write. Room to let or house to let or shop lot to let. Computer printout also don't have. Whereas the agent from the bigger company or firm, they have a banner. Sometimes the banner is very big now. Then we got one SS2 house, I remember, I sold with Sam. We bought cheap. We bought 370. We sold at 610 or 600,000, I forgot. Her notice was hardly visible, whereas the agent, very professional, very confident, the whole panel covered the gate. No. And surprisingly, the one that got the sale was Amy. I said, how come people call you? They didn't see the big panel. He said, I don't know, right, Theo, is it? People like me, I very straightforward, I very sincere, I very simple. I don't like to choy one, is it? Push it around and tell people this. You know, what is not right, I tell people on her. And you buy your eye open. That's why she got the sale. Whereas the very professional one, wow, they are so professional. Because there was one situation, I think this very professional guy, he got a potential tenant, I should say. So he get me to go with him, because the potential tenant asked a lot of questions. He wants to talk to the owner. So I went there. And he didn't even tell me how he want me to actually fit in. I use the word fit in. Then when I met with the tenant, the way I approach people is very nice, because I am very simple and very down to earth. Then I have this confidence to give to people. Then I shake their hand. I say, "Nice to meet you." I say, "Oh, you are the one, I was told by my agent." Then he started talking to me. Then the agent got very unhappy. Well, he's scared, he bypassed the agent and come direct to me to deal. So I had a shock. In between, before we continue further with the potential buyer, he stopped us. He said, "Excuse me, can I have a moment with Mr. Teo?" Then he pulled me aside. Said, "Mr. Teo, I think it's enough. You shouldn't be so friendly with him. I scared he come to you direct." "Oh," I said, "you should have told me earlier on. Then don't ask me to come. Yeah, you are the agent. You're supposed to do it for me." "But this guy insists on seeing you." He said, "Maybe he got that intention." "Then best of luck to you." "Yeah, I don't have intention to let him bypass. Do you think I'm that type of person? But how can I tell this agent?" "Yeah, he doubted me." "He thought I would do that type of thing. He thought I want to save on the agency." "No, even for Amy, I gave her the full fee. I never even want to like negotiate or what." "No." So right speech is very important. Sincerity is very important. Understanding the Dhamma, noble eightfold path, is very important. So we should move on. Oh, the fourth one, yeah. The fourth type of wrong speech, frivolous speech. So you don't go and talk sweet nothing, frivolous speech. Because sometimes without the heedfulness or skillful means, you may end up creating unnecessary karmic negativity. When you say things in a frivolous way, you think sweet nothing, you can joke out of it. But certain people take it very seriously, and it can make people very angry. And it can bring about problem, consequences. That's why don't simply say things. Frivolous speech is very dangerous. If it's not appropriate for the situation, try not to say. Oh, my daughter can share. Very good. She got a friend that teach her.
Yeah, I got a friend that teach me how to recognize frivolous speech. She said in Chinese, 没有营养的话, no,
不要听。
nothing,
不要听。
yeah, no nutrition, no, doesn't add value one.
Means
That's
doesn't add
frivolous.
value, doesn't benefit anybody. So you should avoid. Not only don't listen, you yourself shouldn't create it. So what is the opposite of frivolous speech? Appropriate, relevant, and good speeches, understand? That has the understanding of life, that can give people faith, confidence, understanding, that can help people, transform people. So this is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Okay, we end here. Yeah. Oh, the fourth one I haven't gone through. Oh yeah, fourth one is very straightforward. The fourth right effort is to maintain, which is wrong. Which is you shouldn't maintain. Well, maintain is actually the old, what they call the traditional teaching. I don't think the Buddha meant that. You should refine upon whatever right speech, right thought, and right action that you have developed, then perfect them all. So maintain, I don't like this word. Maybe if you are used to it, you like to use it, you can. That's why that time I say, in order not to create unnecessary panic and shock to people, you have the book all right maintained. So that's why at that time, I remember I used to maintain, but I add in and refine upon. You not only maintain, you refine upon, and now you can add in, refine upon and perfect it. The right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of doing things, or right livelihood, and perfect it. Okay, we finish. So at least today we cover until 1.2. Part 2, next lesson, next Tuesday. Okay, thank you so much. We will now open up for Q&A, or reporting of meditation. Today one also very good because of Sister Han. So nowadays the sharing has become more and more deep, more and more easy to understand. The clarity, everything is there because of condition. Okay, well, I have a drink. You all have any question or anything to share or meditation to report, you can just come in, wave your hand or on the speaker and speak. Anybody? Why is everybody so quiet nowadays? So shy. Anybody? Huh? Again, nobody. We have 23 of us. Oh, one left. Just now was 24 and 23, and now one left, 22. If you don't have any question, then maybe we will do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we rejoice. We rejoice first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Akasatta cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anuvittva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha veto bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. Gimina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, thank you, and you can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the recording. Thank you.